On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Well, hello there. Happy Hot Wednesday. I'm George Adair. We do the show every Wednesday at noon. Thanks for tuning in live. We've got a great guest today, Todd Wilson with ARC Capital. He's going to talk with us about his new book, Crack the Credit Code. What's up, Michelle?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just enjoying the nice weather, but it's a little bit too nice.
You have natural air conditioning because you like your best buddy.
But it's still, if it's hot, that's hot air blowing. It's not exactly the most comfortable, but it's fine.
Good. Well, we definitely were due for some nice weather. So
yes, it's about time.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to head up to Lake Tahoe over the 4th of July.
Nice.
They're supposedly still going to have snow up there.
Okay.
And it'll be my first time skiing on the 4th of July.
Oh, that's crazy.
We shall see how that goes.
Fun.
It's going to be a little weird. I'll wear a tank top. And I'll have a terrible farmer's tan. It'll just be really, really obnoxious.
Sunscreen.
I will definitely need sunscreen. I went to the Schultz family golf tournament yesterday.
Oh, cool.
I'm sorry, Schultz celebrity golf tournament yesterday. Got to see Lawrence Amaturo, of course, the proprietor, owner of KSRO and other stations here. And we had a great time. They raised over $500,000.
It's an amazing event. I've broadcasted from there once, and it was really, really cool.
It's very, very awesome, and you get to mingle with celebrities. You know, I think we use the term celebrity a little loosely with that one, because you've got a lot of people that are known in the public world, not just celebrities. There was a broadcaster from Fox News that was there, and he's much shorter than he appears on TV.
They are. That's so strange.
And there was a couple actors, and I won't say which ones were extremely inebriated, but it was fun to see. Well, they're out in the sun all day,
right?
Golfing. Mm-hmm. Todd, do you golf?
I have been golfing, but I am not good at it.
Yeah,
I haven't done it in over 10 years.
I tell people I just don't golf well.
Right? So, there you go.
I was so bad the first time that I went golfing that the second time I improved my score by half, but I still was very bad. So,
wow! Wow!
So it was just.
Yeah. Wow. So you shot a 200 the first time?
Yes, exactly.
Trying to figure out how you could do that. I'm lucky to crack like 95, so I am really not good at golf, and I had back issues a couple years ago from an accident. So, anyways, I just generally don't golf, but I go to enjoy the libations and the food
and mingle,
it's kind of fun to see people I saw last year that were, like I said, celebrities, and they kind of remembered our conversations from last year to this year and picked up where we left off. That was kind of neat. I hope to do it again next year. So, anyways, that's a good event. So, they benefit several charities, not just one. Mm-hmm. But we are, of course, a show that focuses on the financial well-being of our listeners, and we really like to tackle some of the challenges that people have in the consumerism of mortgages and buying and selling real estate and everything. And credit is such an integral part of that conversation. You know, I don't think it'd be a stretch to say I've seen over 10,000 credit reports in my career, and that's probably an accurate number. And I know credit like the back of my hand, but it takes that type of experience, which of course my guest Todd Wilson from ARC Capital has, and he wrote this book, Crack the Credit Code. To play the game, you need to know the rules. Todd Wilson, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, George.
First big question, why did you put a book together around credit?
Well, I'll tell you, there's actually a lot of reasons, but the main thing is that I've encountered large number of credit reports, as you have through my career as being in the mortgage industry. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is that a lot of people, a huge percentage, in fact, over half of the American adults have a credit report or credit score that is considered not good.
Yeah. And generally, what is that range of not good? Anything
well,
under
according,
what?
According to the credit bureaus, anything under 670 mm-hmm. is considered bad credit. If you have a 671, you have good credit. 670 or 669 is bad credit.
Okay. And what I want to do in this conversation, and you know, we'll talk through this together, is try and keep this as sort of a surface level conversation, because I want people to get your book, and I think that there's a lot of good meat in here for them to read. And so some of the highlights that we pulled out were, in fact, that you said approximately 50 million people don't even have a FICO score.
That's correct.
I was surprised by that.
I was too.
Yeah. And tell us about FICO. Like, what is a FICO score? How is it generated? What are the basic principles of establishing credit?
Well, a FICO score is actually a score that's derived from a company called Fair Isaac. So it's Fair Isaac Company. That's FICO. They have developed these algorithms for determining your credit score. There are over 50 different scoring models. So your credit score for a car loan is going to be different from that for getting a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And the one you get on Credit Karma is going to be different from those also.
And what I've found is that the FICO scores can really vary widely depending on what the entity is that's running the credit report. So if you go in for auto financing, that score could be really different than what you get when you are going in for mortgage financing, right?
Right.
So tell us a little more about the consumer websites. I think there's a very big rush of all these credit card companies to offer CreditWise or Credit Karma or,
right.
you know, Experian and TransUnion have directly reached out to consumers. What is that all about?
There are really two things. One is to make money. That's their primary thing.
Because nothing's really free. You're selling right, your information right. is what you're doing.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're giving you some information about your credit, and it's not the credit score anywhere else will be reflected on that. I mean, you pull your credit on Experian or Credit Karma or through your credit card companies, and you're going to get a score, but it's not the same as when you apply for a loan because they're using one of those different scoring models.
Yep.
And what happens there is they are attracting you to their website so that they can then
sell you
something. Usually it's credit card applications, loan
right.
applications.
Because they get paid for your application.
That's right. They do.
To the Capital Ones or Discover Cards or whatever it is they put in front of you.
That's right.
I told someone the other day that I think Credit Karma is probably one of the most brilliant business models I've seen in recent memory.
Yeah.
Because what people don't realize is Credit Karma has aggregated data on basically everybody in this country that sets up an account with them. They've given their data to Credit Karma. And what does Credit Karma do? They sell that data to these credit card companies, personal loan companies, and also mortgage leads. And we're none the wiser. We just let it happen, don't we?
Right.
So walk me through where you think credit consumer websites are headed. Because I know where I think they're headed. I'd like to know where yeah. you think they're headed. Why are they doing this besides just getting that quick pop?
Well, if somebody knows they can go to Credit Karma anytime they want to see what their estimated score is. And I call it an estimated score because it's not the score you're ever going to see when you apply for anything. But it gives people information. They can see what's on their report. So for that reason alone, I think it's here to stay.
And it is helpful information.
It really is.
I think that people have become very savvy to their credit report. Michelle, you gave us
I
a
did.
Personal story if you want to share again.
Yeah, I listened for years to George.
7.5 years we've been doing this.
Exactly, before I actually started to take his advice. And it was some of those simple things like, you know, get a secured line of credit. I did the exact same thing that George has talked about, that I got caught in college and, you know, got a credit card and got really bad credit after that because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then I was afraid of it for a long time. And mm-hmm. I finally took George's advice and got a secured line of credit through my credit union. I got another credit card on that and did just small amounts. Mm-hmm. And I've been steadily paying them off. I'm not buying just anything. I use it for one particular thing to build my credit. And I've been watching it on Credit Karma, and I'm up to 790 on Equifax.
That's excellent.
So, you know, it took a while, and it's still going to take more time. That's part of the whole credit, is that time is going to – I can't make that go faster, but
no, yeah. Time heals all on credit, doesn't it?
That is absolutely true, and that's something that many people aren't aware of. Because I've talked to people who said, "Oh, this guy told me if I have a bankruptcy, it's going to ruin my credit for 10 years," and it's not true. It may stay on your credit for 10 years; it doesn't have to ruin it for 10 years because the most important thing in your credit report is the most recent thing in your credit report.
Right. After 2 years of negative information, your score does start to rebound pretty aggressively, doesn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, I've noticed that on my clients' reports. So bankruptcies, hot topic, you know, from the Great Recession. A lot of people you and I see, and you're in the private money lending world, so you probably see a lot of people with credit, spotty credit problems.
Yeah.
What role does, or what impact does a bankruptcy have on someone's credit report?
Well, it depends how long ago it was, as we just mentioned. But it also depends on a few other factors, the most important of which is what you've done since the bankruptcy. If you have a bankruptcy and then you have late payments again after it, especially if it's soon after, that's really going to drive your credit score down. It's going to make it a lot harder, and it's going to take longer to recover. But if your payment history is really good and you don't have high balances on your revolving credit, meaning credit cards, then your score is not going to be impacted nearly as much by that bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally went through a bankruptcy after the Great Recession. And, you know, when I started reestablishing, my credit score went up very quickly. Because it was after I'd done a bunch of research, which I now know and have put
it into probably helped contribute to your knowledge in your practice of mortgage lending.
Oh, tremendously.
And obviously probably provided a foundation for writing this book, Crack the Credit Code. So bankruptcy has got a really negative stigma, but I think the Great Recession helped some people feel like they, like you just admitted it on the air that you had a bankruptcy. People were very private about that. They're not as private about their credit anymore, are they?
Well, it really depends. It depends who they're talking to and what they're talking to them about. Mm-hmm. You know, usually when they call somebody for a mortgage, especially if they're calling somebody like me that does private money, you know, alternative financing, we know that who we're dealing with usually has some kind of issue. They can't get a loan from you. And so that's why they're calling. So they're going to be more open. But I have found some people that will still withhold that information until the last possible moment.
Yeah. So people are that go through that traumatizing experience of bankruptcy. I mean, it's very, very difficult in people's lives. They do need to rebuild credit, don't they?
Absolutely.
I mean, they will eventually have no credit score if they don't go reopen or go open new accounts.
Right. Well, and the difficulty with that is that if you don't have any credit score and you have no credit at all, good luck getting a hotel room or renting a car.
Right.
That's right. I have a client that brought his dad in to do a cash out refinance on their property. Dad's lived a very, you know, cash in hand type of life, you know, older gentleman, probably in his 70s, I would estimate, and predicted he would not have a FICO score, and he was right. I ran his credit. He did not have a FICO score. That will cost him more money because I can't get him a Fannie Mae loan.
That's right.
You know, he's gotta have to go with something that's what we call a non-qualified mortgage, or we won't go private money, but non-qualified mortgage rates are higher.
Right.
So we're going to go to break. When we come back from break, I want to talk about what people are probably really most interested in is how do they maintain a good credit score or get back to a good credit score. I'm George Adair with Todd Wilson. We're talking about his book, Crack the Credit Code. We'll be right back.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. Folks, I've been helping people obtain the right financing for nearly two decades. This experience has helped hundreds of homeowners get through some challenging situations. Maybe you're a property investor, or how about a first-time home buyer? Divorces are very complicated, and you need my experience to understand what your mortgage options are. Inherited property or rent-to-own agreements are also my specialty. Financing a home is a huge transaction in your life. When combined with a challenging situation, you need the advice and confidence to do it right. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgeadair.com. That's georgeadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
My wife saw little ants with wings on the bathroom floor. She said, Clark, we need you. I said, hey, I know termites when I see them. You let me at them. So I hit the store. I get the stuff, you know, cup of this, cup of that. Shazam, bugs gone. My wife said, just call Clark. Well, hour later, the termites are back. Take it from a guy that's been there, do it right the first time, and just say, you were right, honey.
Sign up for Clark's guaranteed termite damage protection before termites attack your home. Call 1-800-WE-NEED-YOU or clarkpest.com. Say, Clark, we need you.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5, KSRO.
Hey, I'm George Adair. We do the show every noon, or every Wednesday at noon. So if you've missed it, you can always go to ksro.com and find our former shows there. Michelle kindly puts them up there with a nice little summary, paraphrasing cliff notes of what we do.
Yep. Got quite a few months of shows there.
Yeah, we do. And we have a great guest in studio, my friend Todd Wilson with ARC Capital. He is a private money lender. How do people get a hold of you if they want to talk to you about, you know, they got some tough credit challenges and they want to figure out how to get lending?
They could give us a call at the office at 707-523-2900, or they can go to our website at arcequity.com.
All right, great. Crack the Credit Code. That is your book. Todd Wilson just published this. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
And I want to kind of go through a couple of these, just going really down the list of your table of contents. You really do cover the gamut here. And one of the things that really stuck out to me is the credit repair business.
Right.
Because people are looking for that sort of, you know, that easy, quick fix. They know that you're going to buy a house. They know that they need to qualify for an auto loan. They know that they may have some collections. So what do? They turn to credit repair companies sometimes, don't they?
They do.
And tell us about that business. How does that work?
Well, the credit repair business basically does all the same things you could do yourself, but they do it for you. And if you're too busy, then I could see how that could be a benefit. But
sure.
Most people are not that busy where they can't write a few letters. And in fact, you don't even have to write letters.
Yeah,
you
nowadays.
Go directly on the websites.
Yeah, they've made it really easy. You just go right on the website.
Yeah, well, because they don't want a bunch of paper any more than you want to send them a bunch of paper.
I take issue with credit repair companies. This is my opinion, sort of editorializing this, that they are trying to trick people into paying for the services. And they're trying to trick the credit report, essentially, into deleting accurate information.
I would agree with you.
And then you go in and you lie on your declarations for a home loan that you didn't have a foreclosure or you didn't have a bankruptcy, you know, and you've essentially committed mortgage fraud.
Right, which is not something you want to do because
you we're going to find out anyway.
Well, and who comes knocking on your door if you get caught for that? It's not the mortgage company. It's the FBI.
It's the feds. So the Fair Credit Reporting Act, we don't have to get into that too much, established rules about creditors that report information and how they're supposed to abide by certain specific rules. And recently, collection companies and the medical collections really the rules became more stringent on them and how they reported, because I think everybody at some point has had a collection from a medical company.
Right.
You know, or we know somebody who has. Talk to us a little bit about how people can get that type of information deleted.
Well, there are a couple things you could do. I mean, obviously, if it was sent to collections and it shouldn't have been, you just contact the creditor and you say, hey, you know, to the hospital, the doctor's office. Usually it's because the insurance didn't cover what they expected. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't know they had a bill. Or
right.
They got the bill and they just assumed it was going to be covered by insurance because the last one was.
Right. And we know how friendly, you know, HMOs are. We know how
friendly
Kaiser is, right? I actually went through something with Kaiser. I got a bill 4 years after my son was born for $1,800 from Kaiser.
Wow.
Yeah. 4 years later.
Oh, my goodness.
So we know that they're challenging to deal with directly. So how does the dispute process work with the credit bureaus directly?
Well, you go directly to their websites, actually. Which first you want to do is you want to get a copy of your credit report so you know what's on it. Mm-hmm. And then you can file a dispute. But medical collections aren't going to show up on your credit report immediately. So you've got, I forget exactly if it's 4 or 6 months now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because I'm low on sleep.
I think it's 6 months.
I think it is.
Yeah.
So after you have up to 6 months after it goes to collections before they will even report you.
Yeah.
Because what's happened is the regulators have found the very same thing. If there's all these medical collections that really shouldn't be there, and if the provider was actually a little bit better at communicating with the patient or with the person responsible, which, you know, parents or, mm-hmm. you know, kids of, you know, their, you know, grown parents,
yeah.
then what happens is you can communicate with them, get it sorted out, and get it paid. The other thing you can do is if it's a collection, sometimes you can negotiate with the collection agency and just say, hey, you know what? I think I can scrape together the money to pay you if you can help me out and get this removed from my credit report. And you make sure to get a letter from them ahead of time.
Yeah, it's like a demand letter that says, if you pay us this, then we will remove this from your credit report or
exactly.
show a zero paid in full. So what are some of the easiest things people can do to establish or maintain a good credit score in your experience?
Well, as far as establishing, the one thing that I recommend to people the most is to get a secured credit card, which you had mentioned before.
Yep.
Is that the reason for it is because it's almost impossible to get turned down for a secured credit card.
Because it's your money.
Exactly. You're giving the bank money, and I recommend credit unions because they have the lowest interest rate. You know, you give them $500, they give you a card with a $500 limit, and you can't spend that savings money, but it's still yours. And then you charge on the card something you would normally pay
under 10%, right?
Exactly. You spend, you know, lunch once a month or a tank of gas or something. And then you pay it off when the bill comes.
Because the purpose of that, and the purpose of that card is just to get a good credit score.
Right. That's right.
Because Michelle, in your experience, you started getting credit offers, I bet, right away.
I did.
Right. And then you got to kind of pick through them, discover who's the first one to jump on you.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get the Quicksilver offer, and then, you know, you get some of these other offers from some banks that are very expensive as well. So you really got to look at those offers carefully.
Right.
So in your experience, how many cards should somebody have to maintain a good credit score?
I always recommend 3 or 4 cards.
Yeah. There's also a rule of thumb that I've experienced, which is if you have a lot of installment debt, which is a car loan or a student loan or a personal loan, a lot of people are taking those because they get the offers in the mail and they need quick cash. You need to have revolving debt to counterbalance the installment debt or your credit score will be affected negatively. Have you seen that?
Yeah, you've got to have a proper mix of credit.
Yeah.
And the credit bureaus, you know, if you don't have any installment debt or if you don't have any revolving debt, they ding you for that.
So a good trick that I know is the credit bureaus, I'll set this up by saying the credit bureaus report, the credit card companies report to the bureaus one time a month, and that's when the statement is generated, right? That's generally speaking. And so when that statement is generated is when that information goes. So it's one time a month. So if you are waiting to pay your bill until the statement comes, they're going to report the balance. You're not doing anything wrong. You're abiding by your agreement to pay that balance, but they're reporting a balance that may be skewed in the ratio against the credit limit. So if you had a $10,000 card with a $7,000 balance, you have a 70% utilization, mm-hmm. and that's bad for your credit score,
isn't it?
That's
exactly right. And so what you want to do is, you know what, you can check online with any credit card you have now to find out what your balance is and pay it before that statement comes out.
Yep. So before the statement comes out, log in, I'd say 2 days before the statement comes out.
Yeah.
Or more. Because it generally will take 1 to 2 days for your payment to get reflected. Mm-hmm. And if you miss it, you've missed it until the next month.
That's right.
Yeah. And so you can pay that down to under 10%, and you're going to have the optimal credit ratio.
Right. And this really works for people who use their cards for points and for miles.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because then you still get your miles, your points, without having to pay the piper, so to speak, on your score.
Right. Now, American Express is a unique one.
It
right?
is.
we've uncovered this. So I use my American Express. My wife and I use American Express for gas, groceries, and restaurants because we get double and triple points. But they report that balance. So, you know, let's say it's $5,000 one month because we use it for basically everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it's maxed out. The way American Express reports it.
Right.
And so you have to be aware of that. If you have an American Express card, you definitely want to pay that balance down before the statement gets generated because it will blow your credit score.
Hmm.
Mine is affected by 40 to 50 points simply because of credit utilization.
Wow.
I just closed on a mortgage for myself. I know a guy who's in the lending business. And,
one or two, maybe.
Yeah. And I knew the game. And, you know, I actually missed it. I that's why I said do it 1 to 2 days before your statement comes out, because I did it one day before my statement came out and I missed it.
You missed it. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So when you miss it, talk to us about rapid rescores. Are you familiar with that? Do you deal with that in your office?
We don't really do that much in our office anymore. I mean, I've done them in the past, but, you know,
we
really it's you're getting proof that that account has been paid down.
In advance.
Right. In advance of it being reported to the credit bureaus.
Right.
And then you can get rapid rescore, where they give you an updated score on your report. Hmm. It does cost extra, but
it's worth it. As the lender, we can't charge it to the borrower.
Oh, it's really?
A lending violation.
That's right.
Yeah, so we
forgot
pay
about
it.
That since we don't do them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to grab a couple of the things here, and then we're going to have to wrap up. Talk to me about the identity theft. How do you lock your credit up?
Well, there are a number of ways you can actually go on the credit bureau sites and secure it so that nobody can pull credit without even contacting you. Mm-hmm. You can also put fraud alerts on there so you can contact it anytime it's pulled.
Because we all get something in the mail once every 6 months or so that, hey, your information's been compromised.
Right.
Right. And so the smart thing to do is to lock your credit up.
Yeah. And the other thing you can do is just keep track of your credit. I mean,
just
you
watch
know,
it.
Whether you're using Credit Karma or you're going to use Experian or mm-hmm. TransUnion or Equifax, yep. as long as you're checking regularly, and I would recommend minimum once a month, but I really think people should check, you know, at least 2 to 4 times a month, because that way you always know what's happening. If there's some new account or some new inquiry, you're on top of it right now before it happens.
Yeah. I will say, if you decide to lock your credit, which is good advice, do not lose that PIN.
Right.
Yes.
If you lose that PIN, you are screwed for 30 days. It will take forever for you to unfreeze your credit. Mm-hmm. Do not lose that PIN. Put it in 5 different places with non-identifying information, of course.
Yes, of course.
Folks, I also just want to say, be careful when you do sign up for Credit Karma. You are giving them your information. If you missed that in the top part of the show, you are giving them your information to then sell you things. And also, I don't know if you've seen this, I saw job postings for loan officers to work for Credit Karma. So we will soon be seeing Credit Karma Mortgage if it's not already out there.
Wow.
And I've sent all of my customers to Credit Karma. I've created a competitor. So Crack the Credit Code by Todd Wilson. Todd, of course, is also a practicing mortgage broker with ARC Capital. He's a principal there as well. Thank you for writing this book and for sharing your knowledge.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Where can people buy this?
They can buy it on Amazon.
Okay.
You know, right on Amazon. It's the only book called Crack the Credit Code. So you type it in your little browser in Amazon. You can get it as a Kindle or as a hard copy book.
Fantastic.
And you can also order it directly on my website, which is crackyourcredit.com.
Crackyourcredit.com. Folks, I'm getting the hook. I got to go. Todd Wilson, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next Wednesday. If you missed parts of the show, go to ksro.com and check it out. We'll see you.